Hi listeners, this week I'm going to be reading out an article that was authored by Ashlyn Chand about the Canadian government's response to the refugee crisis that was caused by the earthquakes that struck Turkey and Syria earlier this year. A really disastrous event which has caused a huge humanitarian crisis which is ongoing. This was actually one of the first news articles that we published on our new website. If you go over to readthemaple.com, you'll find it there. And of course, I'll also include a link to it in the episode description. So this article is titled, Earthquakes Highlight Need for Better Refugee Crisis Preparedness, Immigration Lawyers Warn. And it was authored, as I mentioned, by Ashlyn Chand, a Maple contributor. Immigration lawyers are disappointed with the federal government's slow response in providing aid and creating programs for Turkish and Syrian refugees who are fleeing the devastating effects of two earthquakes that struck earlier this year, and say the disasters highlight a need to better prepare for the impacts of future crises. On February 6th, the first catastrophic earthquake hit southern and central Turkey and northern and western Syria. The second earthquake hit the same area 2 weeks later. As of March, over 50,000 deaths were confirmed as a result of the earthquakes. 2.6 million people are seeking shelter in tents and temporary shelters in Turkey, and in Syria, approximately 5 million people may have been made homeless in February. More than 850,000 children were displaced by the earthquake. As well, approximately 272,860 buildings in Turkey have either collapsed, been severely damaged, or are facing demolition. The preliminary estimated total cost of the destruction in Turkey stands at $103 billion, equivalent to 9% of that country's forecast GDP for 2023. The earthquake also disrupted production of key commodities and trade in the region, with many factories and farms struggling to keep up with demand. In February, Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada Minister Sean Fraser announced that his ministry was giving priority to affected individuals for temporary PR, permanent residency, and refugee applications. He said, "We're monitoring the situation and will adjust our approach accordingly." In March, the ministry also announced measures to make it easier for Turkish and Syrian nationals already in Canada on a temporary basis to extend their stay. At the time of the announcements, nearly 16,000 Turkish and Syrian applications were already in the immigration system, and of those, approximately 1,700 were from people within the earthquake zone. Even before the earthquakes, IRCC was experiencing well-documented capacity issues and continues to grapple with a backlog of applications. In November, approximately 2.1 million applications were in the system, more than half of which were in the backlog. Back in early 2022, Fraser attributed system backlogs to increased immigration applications and COVID-19 travel restrictions. Further delays continue in part due to additional factors like office closures and labor disruptions. In February, Syrian Canadian Amal Schwick told CTV News after the earthquake that she was waiting for IRCC to issue travel documents to her sister in Turkey, who she applied to sponsor in 2021. Her sister eventually made it to Canada in March. In February, Kate Sercom, the chair of the Wolfville Refugee Support Network, told CBC her organization was trying to help a Syrian woman who arrived in Canada in 2017 get the rest of her family to Canada. The organization was able to bring her mother to Nova Scotia, but her brother's application was still pending when the earthquakes hit. Canada's immigration plan. Broadly, the federal government is planning to significantly increase the number of immigrants entering Canada over the next few years. In its 2023 to 2025 immigration levels plan, IRCC said it aimed to welcome a total of 500,000 new permanent residents to Canada by 2025. Maureen Silkoff, a Toronto-based refugee and immigration lawyer and former president of the Canadian Association of Refugee Lawyers, told the Maple these targets for the next few years are quite ambitious, and that the ministry needs to be better prepared to handle international crises alongside those targets. "I think right now the department needs tools that could move cases forward in a more expeditious way generally, and also has to be able to meet any given crisis at the moment," Silkoff explained. Aidan Simidone, also a Toronto-based immigration lawyer, told the Maple that systemic racism may also be a factor underlying the delays for certain applicants, noting that the federal government has shown in its handling of Ukrainian refugees that it is capable of quickly adjusting immigration standards during international crises. The Canada-Ukraine Authorization for Emergency Travel Program, which provides temporary status to Ukrainians who are fleeing Russia's invasion, is one example of Canada being flexible during international emergencies. But the relative success of this program has not been replicated to accommodate those fleeing dangerous situations in other embattled countries, like Afghanistan. With 2.6 million registered as refugees, Afghans make up the third largest refugee group in the world after Syrian refugees and displaced Venezuelans. Despite this, Afghan immigration rates to Canada remain comparatively low. After Taliban forces captured Kabul in 2021, Canada promised to resettle 40,000 Afghan refugees. According to IRCC, 30,455 have been welcomed to Canada so far. By comparison, Canada has approved 666,777 Ukrainian applications out of 995,000 received in the past year. Challenges faced by individual Afghan applicants have been the subject of several recent news stories. As reported by CBC last month, immigration lawyer Andrew Colton was working to settle an Afghan human rights activist until a minor issue with the sponsor's email address caused a complication with the application, which could take more than 5 years to process. Colton noted that a significant amount of IRCC resources were shifted away from Afghans to assist people coming from Ukraine. Whose Lives Matter is structured by white supremacy, Sid Simardone. Also in March, a powerful earthquake rattled northern Afghanistan, less than a year after a 6.2 magnitude earthquake in eastern Afghanistan killed more than 1,000 people. The Canadian government has so far announced no changes to their Afghanistan resettlement programs to account for this latest disaster. Natural disasters can exacerbate existing social crises and existing forms of oppression, Simardone explained. The earthquake struck the Turkish-Syrian border, a region that hosts large numbers of internally displaced people and rebel fighters, adding to an already difficult situation. As of this year, 15.3 million people in Syria are in need of humanitarian aid as a result of 10 years of ongoing conflicts and their lasting impacts, such as large-scale internal and cross-border displacement, widespread destruction of civilian infrastructure, and significant violations of international humanitarian law. Earthquakes also offer a grim taste of the effects of disasters that are likely to become increasingly common as a result of climate change. According to a 2021 U.S. Environmental Protection Agency report, climate change disproportionately impacts underserved communities who are least able to prepare for and recover from heat waves, poor air quality, flooding, and other impacts. Silkoff believes now is the time for Canada to consider policies to help refugees who are often the most vulnerable to the effects of climate disasters. The United Nations Refugees Convention does not necessarily account for climate change situations when it defines what constitutes a refugee. The convention defines a refugee as someone who, owing to well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion, is outside the country of their nationality and is unable or, owing to such fear, is unwilling to avail themselves of the protection of that country, or who, not having a nationality and being outside the country of their former habitual residence, is unable or, owing to such fear, is unwilling to return to it. This definition is the basis of many countries' refugee policies and laws, which explains why Canada has been ill-prepared to welcome migrants fleeing natural disasters. Silkoff explained that Canada should look to the future and prepare pilot projects, since this country will likely receive more people fleeing the impacts of climate change. It's a good time to pause for a moment and figure out how Canada could meet its domestic and international legal obligations to assist people who would face climate harm, she said. That article was authored by Ashlyn Chand. Ashlyn Chand is a freelance writer based in Edmonton. She has also written for Ricochet, the Toronto Star, the Tie, Jacobin, This Magazine, and more. To read more stories like this, as I said, please go to readthemaple.com. And if you'd like to help support our work and more in-depth investigative stories, you can become a member by going to readthemaple.com and pressing sign up, where you can register your email, and you have the option to subscribe to our daily newsletter as well. Thank you for listening.